This is Only a Game. I'm Howard Bryant, in for Bill Littlefield. While researching my book, The Heritage, I was struck by the enormous effect the September 11th terrorist attacks have had on sports. How they look, how they're packaged, and how they're sold. Before 9/11, giant flags and flyovers were reserved for the Super Bowl. Today, they're commonplace. Even the players wear camouflage jerseys. The military is omnipresent, and it's by design. The public accepts this as supporting the troops, but one group of individuals, the veterans themselves, is more skeptical. One voice stood out, William Astorres.
You know, they bring out a humongous flag. You know, military jets fly overhead. Sometimes it's a B-2 stealth bomber. Sometimes it's fighter jets.
Bill Astorres is a retired Air Force lieutenant colonel who writes about the increased militarization of sports and its perils on Bracing Views, his personal blog, as well as the website Tom Dispatch.
I think at first there's a sort of thrilling feeling, right? I'm like all the other fans. You know, a big plane goes overhead. Wow, you know, that's kind of awe-inspiring. But at the same time, to me, it's not something that I see should be flying over a sports stadium before a baseball game or a football game. You know, these are weapons of death. They may be required, but they certainly shouldn't be celebrated and applauded.
Astorres grew up in Brockton, Massachusetts, the bare-knuckle town of famed boxers Rocky Marciano and Marvelous Marvin Hagler. He's an avid Red Sox fan, and when he watches sports, he sees the perpetual selling of war and something very cynical, patriotism for sale, with troops as bait. The All-Star Game in Washington this week was so awash in ceremony, it conjured thoughts of an old joke with a new twist. I went to a military parade, and a baseball game broke out.
I think our military has made a conscious decision. And that decision was, as much as possible, to work with strong forces within our society. I think our military made a choice to work with the sporting world and vice versa. I think that's something that is a response to 9/11.
Before 9/11, an American flag the size of a football field was unheard of.
What I remember from going to games is, you know, I remember the national anthem, a conventional-sized American flag, and that's all I remember.
National anthem, color guard, and on big games, you got bunting.
Right.
That's where, you know, you got bunting on the 4th of July, you got bunting at the World Series. That's
right. And I have to say that I thought, you know, that was enough. You know, after 9/11, there were so many people that I saw who broke out the flags and put them on their cars and had a spontaneous reaction to a feeling that we as Americans needed to come together. And that felt good.
In the years following 9/11, professional sports took a healing gesture and transformed it into a way to make money. In 2015, Republican Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake released the report Tackling Paid Patriotism, which criticized the deceptive taxpayer-funded contracts between the Pentagon and virtually every pro sports league. In 2012, the New York Army National Guard paid the Buffalo Bills $250,000 to conduct on-field reenlistment ceremonies. In 2014, the Georgia National Guard paid the Atlanta Falcons $114,000 to sing the national anthem. In 2015, the Air Force paid NASCAR $1.5 million, in part for veterans to shake hands with racing legend Richard Petty. Your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I wasn't completely surprised, but I was disgusted by it. Patriotic displays, they mean a lot more to me when they're spontaneous. But to learn that these had been paid for, that corporate teams, you know, teams owned by billionaires basically, were collecting money from the military, paid for obviously by you and me, by the American taxpayer. Well, it was sad.
American flags are the ultimate good housekeeping seal, and thanking veterans for their service disconnects the public from what has been nearly two decades of war. The ballpark ceremony obscures the realities of war, and by focusing on soldiers, inoculates the government from anti-war criticism. Bill Astorres tells me it's a form of emotional manipulation.
Under the Bush-Cheney administration, we weren't even able to see the caskets of dead soldiers. The cost of war, that very ugly face of war, was being kept from us.
So we feel nothing
yeah.
as everything's being fought.
The only time we see it sometimes is when they bring out a wounded soldier, for example, and maybe he or she has lost two or three limbs, but they're brought out into an NFL stadium or an MLB baseball game. And the impression that you get is everything's okay, see? But we don't see this person struggling to get around at home and maybe being depressed because they've suffered this horrible wound in war.
Nick Francona grew up in baseball. His last name is a dead giveaway. His grandfather, Tito Francona, played 15 years in the big leagues and was teammates with Hank Aaron in the 1960s. His father, Terry, played 10 years in the majors and famously managed the 2004 Red Sox to their first World Series win in 86 years. Nick took a different path.
Yeah, I was in my freshman year at Penn. A friend of mine that I played travel baseball with, he had enlisted after high school and was an infantry marine, and he was in Iraq during my freshman year in college. And it used to keep me up at night, and it would bother me a lot where I would kind of sit there and be like, man, like I'm playing a lot of online poker, going to econ classes, and going out to bars, and we have like a war going on. I felt like I was missing out and like not contributing or doing my part.
Nick joined the Marines, becoming a scout sniper platoon commander in Afghanistan.
I remember my mom at one point wanted me to, she was like, well, you can pick any of the jobs. Why don't you be a comptroller or a finance type of officer? And I'm like, Mom, like nobody watches a Marine commercial and is like, oh, I really want to do the accounting for them.
Almost immediately, Nick felt the commercial effects of post-9/11 sports. In May 2010, even before he was deployed overseas, he was being sold as a hero. It felt inauthentic.
They were having Marine Week in Boston, and it was a pretty big deal. They had wanted me to throw out the first pitch at Fenway during one of the games. It would have been a good story of having the manager's son be a Marine and throwing out the first pitch at Fenway, but I was horribly uncomfortable with that and didn't think I had done anything to deserve that and gave them a firm pass on that one.
After he left the service, Nick worked in baseball for the Angels, the Dodgers, and the Mets. Ostensibly, he was a liaison to veterans, but what was being sold to the public as patriotism felt like commercialism. What Bill Astori wrote outside the game, Nick Francona felt working within it. Camo jerseys, corporate sponsorship of service. Without the authenticity of service, the veterans felt like props.
And I mean, if you look at kind of the tone of what Memorial Day has become about, it's pretty gross. Even on the team's official Twitter accounts, a flame emoji for like, look how like hot these camo hats are. And it's like, really, guys? Like, that's the plan? I mean, you can imagine how like some of these like Gold Star families reacted to that. They were not remotely amused. I might have asked a question 100 times and said, okay, if you're selling a $40 hat, how much of this is going to charity and where is it going? I think it's fair to say if you're an average fan watching Major League Baseball, you're going to be like, man, these guys like really are supportive of the military.
This support, Nick says, does not exist within MLB. According to the league's figures, only 10 of the league's 5,000 employees are veterans.
That's genuinely difficult to accomplish. Like, if your goal was to hire as few veterans as possible, that's pretty impressive. I'm almost certain that there's more than 10. But they've really gone out of their way to avoid being able to even identify, like, the veterans. I've been arguing for that for, like, 10 years to, like, figure out who they are so we can, like, support each other and, like, link up and try to address some of these issues, and they patently refused to be involved in that.
Working with the Mets, one moment defined his frustrations. He created a Memorial Day program where he matched players with Gold Star families from similar backgrounds. The players recorded videos that told the stories of the fallen.
Hi, I'm David Wright with the New York Mets. This Memorial Day, I am remembering Marine Corporal Christopher G. Scherer.
Players, he says, were emotional learning the stories of the dead soldiers from America's wars. They wore bracelets naming soldiers they were matched with. It was authentic and personal, appropriately respectful of a day commemorating sacrifice.
So I get an email, I'm on the flight back, and I get an email from someone with the Mets asking, they're like, okay, like, great job, now we need to get all the families to sign these waivers to like waive the rights as licensees for the bracelets that the guys wore. And I'm like, whoa, 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 we're not, like, absolutely not. they referred to them as license holders, the families. And I'm like, I think you mean as, like, parent of, like, dead Marine or soldier. Patently offensive. And there was, like, no way I was going to have them sign that and, like, refuse to do so. I wanted to know exactly whose bright idea this was and was going to give them a piece of my mind. And that ended it pretty quickly. And then the next day was my last day there. They called me in and said, you've done a great job here. Really had a huge impact. You've also had a big impact on the veteran stuff with Major League Baseball, but your comments aren't compatible with having a career in baseball. So we're going to have to part ways.
The Mets fired him. Nick Francona is now out of baseball.
I'm certainly not happy about not working in baseball. It was my dream job and was good at it. And the people that fired me ironically told me I was very good at it. It sucks. Even thinking about it, I wouldn't go back and say, I wish I just like compromised my principles a little more so I could succeed here. Like, if that's the price of success, like, I'll find something else. I think it's sad, and I think it speaks volumes about the state of Major League Baseball.
Recruiting is a main reason the military is embedded in sports. In an interview for my book, I told 3-star General Russell Honore I didn't want the Army recruiting my son while he watched the Red Sox. His response: you better hold on to him if you don't want them in the Army. We're going to recruit the hell out of them. That's how we man the force.
I appreciate the general's honesty. it's refreshing in a way. But I just think that's the wrong way to recruit.
That's Bill Astori again.
I was in Williamsport. I lived in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for 9 years.
Home of the Little League World Series,
that's
right?
The home, yes, of the Little League World Series. And 1 year, an Air Force van showed up. So kids, you know, Little Leaguers could come and go into this van and play video games. And the Air Force thought this was a great idea for recruitment. And I thought to myself, this is completely inappropriate. I mean, the Little League World Series should be for children. I mean, they're not even teenagers.
And for baseball.
And for baseball, yeah. It should not be an opportunity for any military service to show up and try to recruit youngsters. When I was interested in the military in high school, I went to see my civilian guidance counselor. There wasn't a Marine recruiter challenging me to a pull-up contest. And so I see these kinds of things as a gradual process of the militarization of our society. And I just see it as something that we as a democracy should be guarding against.
Where do sports go from here? I asked one baseball executive who told me his sport promotes the military not out of patriotism, but out of fear, the fear of being called unpatriotic. Nearly 20 years after 9/11, Bill Astori believes these rituals have served their purpose.
We sing God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch because, well, that's what we do now. We have a huge flag and military flyovers because that's what we do. We celebrate a military person after the fourth inning because that's what we do, and we've come to expect it. I think we as Americans need to come together and recognize that all of this needs to be ratcheted back, that we need to return to a simpler time when you played the national anthem, you respected our country, and then you play ball and you just enjoy the game the way it was meant to be enjoyed.